Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends, like my long lost friend who I miss so much. Dr. Judy Jasik is here with us today. How are you, Dr. Jasik?
We're doing good down here in Tennessee, enjoying the mild winter. You get a few chilly nights and it rains a lot still, but no snow to shovel. So yeah, it's good. We've been exploring the mountains a little bit. We were in Eastern Tennessee doing some hiking. We do miss the mountains. We miss that really good, solid hiking and stuff. So we miss that part, but we're exploring and getting out more. So yeah, life is good.
Good. Well, it's good to be here with you, to all of our listeners. Thanks for being patient. I've been out with a family member who has some health issues, so my attention has been other places. But we certainly appreciate all of your emails wondering where the podcast is. And it's right here. And so you can get this podcast wherever you get your podcast. We're out on a lot of different places. So all you have to do is search The Raw Dog Food Truth. Blog Talk is going away, Dr. Jasik. They've been around for a long time, but we are moving over to Buzzsprout. That will be the home there. Obviously, our home is on the website, Raw Dog Food and Company. But that's where it's going to be housed. And there's a lot of AI. You and I were talking about this. They're utilizing a lot of AI over there, which is great, right? Because they're going to do a transcript. So now you guys, if you want a transcript of the podcast, you can get it over there as well. So anyway, that's kind of some stuff that's going on. But I wanted to ask you, we just had the election in Colorado. They voted in, and the way that they write these laws or proposals, I should say, it's a proposition, right? Is not all informative all the time, and they can make it look like it's a better deal than it is. One thing that they did in Colorado is that they decided that they were going to put a higher level veterinarian in to the mix now, right? So this is sort of like somebody who, and maybe you can speak to this better than I can, but it's like somebody who's going to sign off on what you can and can't do now at your veterinary location. What do you, they voted it in, and the way that they made it sound like was this is going to be way better for your pets. I read it as, oh, it's just more regulation, more rules put into place that are going to keep you from being able to have a voice. What do you think?
Well, I guess so. Well, is this the technician? Like they were gonna do like a technician level that the kind of like a physician assistant? I heard about that one, but maybe this is something different.
It's
You're being
that it and I'll have to go back and get the actual proposition. As we were talking to Amanda, our daughter, who's a vet, she's like, "Ooh, thank goodness I'm not in Colorado, right?" So she's in Utah because they would not have the freedom, whatever freedom that they have within a clinic to make a decision
So
any
it's
longer.
over. So it's actually overseeing the vet. So no,
Yeah.
I didn't hear about this then. No, I think that's not good at all. I mean, I think, practitioners, part of what practitioners should be able to do is to practice authentically. I mean, that's to me what like true healing is you have a practitioner that has skills and they tune into their patient and then they make a plan and they're helping them. To heal based on those individual, circumstances. But as soon as they're telling the vets, it's like corporatized medicine. It's like another level of corporatized medicine. The same thing has happened in human medicine. It's been going on for longer there, but now I'm sure the same thing is, sounds like coming down the pike for Colorado that the vets now. So this is like a veterinary regulator, somebody that's regulating vets. Like, so it's they're enforcing what's called standard of care then too, but to all veterinarians.
Yes. It almost sounded like, you know, that level, Dr. Jasek, where they have inside of standard of care veterinary medicine, they have their nutritional vets, their certified that, give information that you and I would never recommend. But it almost felt like that. It almost read like that to me. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, I would say that there's, more regulations going on in Colorado now. Of course, you can see what each state sort of believes after this last election. And it gets worrisome in Colorado. There's a new thing that happened. There's a governing body in Colorado for shelters, rescues, pet stores, and breeders now. PACFA proposed the requirement that all pet animals brought into the state of Colorado be vaccinated for rabies. Oh, something that's near and dear to our hearts, Dr. Jasek, right? And even though they cannot be administered these rabies vaccines until dogs are 12 to 14 weeks old, this essentially bans rescuing out-of-state puppies that are less than 12 weeks old. And Brian had sent this to me, and in this he said, for the past 5 years, organizations in Colorado have rescued between 12,000 and 19,000 juvenile dogs from out of state. And they've done that, that's an annual basis, how many dogs they've rescued from out of state. And so while the definition for juvenile dogs does not directly align with the 12-week slash rabies vaccine requirement, this regulation is going to cause many of these puppies, moms with litters, who are orphaned, abandoned, and surrendered, it's not going to allow those dogs to come in. So a large percentage, he said, of that 19,000 puppies, would be euthanized if other states can't absorb that population.
And Colorado had a lot of resources and a lot of people willing to help the rescues. I mean, I would say of, when I was working in Colorado, the dogs that I would see adopted from the rescue, it was rare that it didn't come from out of state. Like they're from a lot from New Mexico and Texas because they have huge populations of, stray pets, unwanted pets, and they just couldn't absorb those numbers. So they'd come up to Colorado. So yeah, it's really sad. And for no even reasonable reason whatsoever. We did the rabies webinar. The whole rabies thing is all made up to begin with. So now they're just creating laws that are doing nothing but harming the pets, harming the rescues, and spreading more fear. Let's spread more fear about, about disease. It's like that this just like we were talking about with the vets. They're just it's like the slow boiling frog. They're just slowly increasing more and more and more and more control is, oh, I know there was something I was going to say about that thing. It's like anymore, like I look at the veterinary license, it's just handcuffs. Like we need a way to like another professional something. I don't know what it look like, but it's the license. It's licensed veterinarians that are falling under that control. So it's like you could do more without a license to help pets. We just have to be careful so you don't get in trouble for practicing without a license. But if you were doing just, not doing pharmaceuticals, doing more natural medicine, like we need a way where practitioners can learn how to help pets holistically without being a vet, because it's the license that then they can regulate the, it used to be like, oh, I'm a licensed vet. It used to be this, like, I used to think it was so cool, I'm a doctor and all that. Now it's like, it's just handcuffs, really, because you have to follow if you want to keep that license. And a lot of vets are afraid to do things that where they would risk losing their license. So it's a huge control mechanism. And now all these vets, like, they work so hard, they got all these debts, like they don't want to risk letting go of that license. So they're just going to comply to this stuff, you know, and it's just more and more and more and more control.
Well, a word that people really need to come to understand is regulate. How are things regulated? How can businesses be regulated out of business? Because that's what Brian said about what's going on. He said it seems that Colorado is trying to regulate rescues out of business, meanwhile allowing breeders and puppy mills to continue to operate. Because he said PACFA has also proposed a rule change to limit boarding facilities to no more than 5 dogs from rescues, and that dogs from out of state must be in the state for 14 days prior to being placed in a boarding facility. And he said, and lastly, all transports of animals would need to be scheduled and reported to PACFA to include time and location at least 2 weeks in advance. So orphan puppies and those mothers who have died at birth often haven't been alive for 2 weeks. And without bottle feeders,
Yeah.
these rescuers,
They're
they're not going
just
to have
gonna
it.
die.
Right. So,
Just gonna die.
you know, when we talk about any business, farmers, you and I were talking about farmers, and we're talking about why, you know, because people will say, well, why has the price of food gone up? Regulations, the price of feed, the price of land, the price of insurance. I mean, there's so many different things. But, you know, one of the things that we have heard is, let's say a politician doesn't have to take a business down like in your face. All they have to do is regulate them to a point, like what they're doing here, this example that we just talked about with the rescues in Colorado. Regulate them so hard that you can't make a living, that you can't pay your bills, that you can't continue to do your business. That's all you have to do.
And to what end? Like, why are they taking out the rescues? Like, I mean, they use health, you know, these the whole rabies fear tactic, but it's like they just want to wipe out the pets, you know, just like some of their regulations are very bad for humans and the human population. It's like they just want to depopulate the pets. I mean, because there's no logical reason, certainly no benefit to the pets in doing this. So, you know, why would they do it? Except if they want to just depopulate, get rid of the animals.
I don't
So,
know.
really
I don't
sad.
know. You know, certainly in this journey that I've been on, I've seen so much cancer in people. You still seeing cancer in pets increase?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, I work with, you know, I see a lot of cancer patients because I work with cancer and provide alternative options for people. But yeah, it's just constantly on the increase. And same thing, you know, younger and younger animals. But you know, I see cases that go both ways. But you know, I see a lot of miracles too, you know, and I really think the body can heal and the body. You know, with the right support, you know, we can turn things around in some cases, make cancer manageable. Still, the pets can live, you know, good quality of life. But it keeps getting worse. I think the vaccines keep getting more toxic. That's why we're seeing younger and younger animals. I'm still seeing way more, you know, young animals, like 1 to 3 years getting diagnosed with cancer. Never used to see that. So I think vaccines are toxic. But I'd say for a lot of the pets that I see, you know, there's still the underlying reasons for it are years of toxicity of some sort. The diets, the drugs, the vaccines, the flea and tick, all of this stuff. And it's a wake-up call for a lot of people to, you know, say, hey, I need to look at my pet's health differently and what I'm doing. Sometimes you're further behind the ball when you start than in other cases. But, I do think, we live in a toxic world, and it just there's things that we can't control, but then the things we can control, it just makes it that much more important, because I think there's more toxins in our air and water and, stuff they're spraying in the skies and all that that we can't get around. So doing the things that we can to keep our pets on a really clean routine become even more important, like eating a raw diet. We were talking about before, prices are going up. Yep, prices are going up every time you go to the store. Like, holy smokes, you run in for a few things and it's $100. But you have to make that choice. What's the price? What price tag do you put on your health or on your pet's health? And maybe need to make some other sacrifices, to afford that if it's important. I think it needs to be a big enough priority to, if you really understand that diet, feeding that species appropriate diet it's the most important foundation. Still what we talk about, if you can do one thing, make sure they're on a really, really, really good diet. And it's important. So you have to invest in that. It's like an insurance policy. People buy pet insurance policies. Well, this is the raw feeding is, in my mind, it's part of that. Think of it as a little extra, clause on your pet's insurance policy. Yeah, you're paying a little extra, but it's going to really help, keep your pet from getting these cancer or other chronic diseases.
I heard something. You and I were talking about this in regards to fear, right? In regards to the pet parents and l when they get this diagnosis of their beloved pets getting cancer. And somebody that I work with, who's been in standard of care and also now in the whole holistic side, so has seen both sides. But here's what she says about when you, whether it's your situation or whether it's your pet situation, when you are getting information that you may not like, right? You and we're all going to get information that we don't like at some point in time. But she said the best thing that you can do for yourself and for all involved is to be neutral, is to get your emotions to become neutral, right? Don't go into the, oh my gosh, and get way out there on the wheel of what might happen or what's life going to look like if I don't have my pet, or are they going to, blah, blah, how we can just, kick up these stories in our head. What she said was so powerful and so helpful to me, but she just said, stay neutral with your emotions, gather information, right? You're just gathering information and you need to look at it like that because, as you have stated, in the pet world, you've seen miracles, you've seen dogs that have done incredible, and you've seen dogs that have taken a nosedive for no apparent reason, right? Pets. Same thing we see in people. We don't know how much the energetic field is at play, but we do know this, that our thoughts are things. Why do I say that? Because energy, and we've said this before, you can tell when you walk in a room or you come in contact with an animal. You know whether that animal is aggressive. Right? And it's got a bad energy about it. Same thing with people, right? So we know that we are energetic beings. We know that animals are energetic beings. So these are things. Energy has to go somewhere, Dr. Jasek. It has to go
Right.
somewhere. Energy doesn't sit still. And so I found that very helpful, and I hope that it will help our listeners today. When you're encountering a situation with yourself or your pets, you want to try to stay neutral and not let those emotions take you on a ride. And she said, I'm not asking you to be void of emotions. right? You don't want to be void of feeling, but you want to be able to get the information that people are giving you, and maybe that information doesn't work for you or whatever. But she said, you don't want to block the level of information. And when you are in fear, when you are terribly scared, when you're anxious, all of those low vibrational being feelings, she just said that that doesn't serve you. Would you agree with that or not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, emotions are so powerful. And when we are in fear or anxiety, I sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and like get up, go to the bathroom, lay back down. And I think a lot of it just there's just so much turmoil in the world and just so much that we don't know about what's going on, what's coming up, where are things going? And I just start feeling anxiety and it just like just building. And I was like, where is it? I'm not thinking about one thing in particular, but just like, where is this coming from? And I think we really need to acknowledge our emotions, but at the same time, you can't let them govern. You don't think clearly when you're anxious or fearful. So I think you have to acknowledge them. But if you feel like you're in that state, that's not a time to make decisions. You're not logical. I also think it's really important to really discern where you're getting your information from and who you're getting it from and get multiple opinions. The common knee-jerk these days is you get news that you don't like. So then you want to go back to the comfort of your own home and research online. Unless you're on a website or somebody you really trust, don't rely on online information because there's so much false stuff out there. There can be good stuff too. Just know where you're getting your information from and get multiple opinions. If you get information that's, really kind of set you off about yourself or your pet, then get another opinion. Go, talk to somebody else. I mean, most of my patients coming in are getting second opinions because they've heard one side of, treatment options. They're like, oh, it's not really sitting well with me. What else is out there? So then they come talk to me, and then they, need to make a choice of which way are they going to do. But yeah, you don't ever want, I think you do need to process the emotion
Yes.
and deal with it. You don't just stuff it because that is only going to harm you. But if you're feeling fearful, say, I'm going to take this information and then I'm going to go for a walk or I'm going to do something to clear my head. Like I think, I'm no psychologist or anything, but I think the worst thing you can do is you're in this, you get this information that's making you feel fearful or anxious. And then you go and you start researching. Say you just found out your pet has a cancer diagnosis. Then you spend 6 hours online researching cancer, you're just going to build that fear and anxiety is just going to build. I think you need to help dissipate those emotions, acknowledge them. I mean, what I do when I'm feeling uncomfortable emotions, I'm like, hey, I got this anxiety, or I'm feeling fearful about this. Okay. I'm just going to be with that emotion. And then, they tend to dissipate. If you fight them, fight it. My experience is if you fight emotion, try to make it go away. Or I think the worst thing you can do is just stuff it because it's going to come back out later. If you just kind of let it be and do something that helps release it, go for a walk or run or hike or whatever it is, for you, then you circle back when you feel like your mind is clear and then make your logical decisions. I think in medicine, a lot of people make medical decisions for their pets in that state of fear. And the doctors push that. And I think there are medical practitioners that know that you're in this state and like, okay, well, if you don't start chemotherapy right now, your pet's only going to live a month. I mean, I've heard many people have been told that, but if you're doing something, making a decision out of fear, I think you really need to take a step back. Your pet is not, if you take a few days just to think through things, that's not going to most likely change the outcome of your pet. You take a few days to feel like you're really making the right decisions. And pets take on our emotions too. We were talking about this. I think when people stay in that state of fear, their pets don't do as well because the pets are taking on your emotions. So then they're fearful and they don't know what that's for. They're not really worried about being sick. They're just wondering why, mom's crying every time she looks at me, or, I don't go for walks anymore. Like they just want to live their life and be a dog or cat, and but they will pick up on those emotions. I think we need to remember how much that's affecting our pets as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you this about anxiety. What does that feel like to you? What does anxiety, how does that present in your body?
It's just like it's like turbulence. It's like everything is just like the energy is just like, I don't know, just like very
Almost look like cylinders as I'm watching you. It's like a car with cylinders going up and
It's like
down.
everything is just scattered. I'm trying to think of the word. It's like a bunch of things moving around, like a bunch of gears moving around, kind of out of control. Nothing's working in harm. Everything's kind of disjointed. Like everything's just kind of working. It's like not together. Like my being, my mind, body, spirit is not working together like it should be. Like your mind should be helping bring in information and helping to inform, but then you're relying on your gut feeling, your intuition, and your spiritual influences to make good decisions. But it seems like when I'm anxious, like everything, it's like all the wires have been cut. Like just And everything's just going different directions, and you just can't. And then it's like in that state, like anything I think about, I feel anxious about. Like, why am I anxious about that? There's no reason to be anxious about that. But I'm in that state, you're anxious about everything, and then you got to bring everything together so that things get that harmonious flow again.
Yeah, it's like anxiety is, to me, it seems like it's a time where I have zero control over the situation, right? I have zero control of the situation. I want to have control over the situation. I want to know how the situation is going to turn out. I want to know right now, right? And that causes great anxiety. And I think what I've realized when I come out on the other side of anxiety is that you, it's almost like a situation that you're put in to let you know you got to let go, right? I cannot know the future. I cannot know why things happen, no matter if I try to put all the puzzle pieces together, right? Why does a dog get cancer at an early age? Why does a human get cancer? Why does Aunt Peggy get to drink a fifth of vodka every night and smoke three packs of cigarette and live to be, 98 versus someone else who gets cancer early on? It's so I don't know, Dr. Jasek. It's so maddening. I think that we can't say, or at least I'm not willing to say, well, we're all going to die of something, so I'm just going to eat a bunch of crap, right? My dog's going to die of something, so I'm just going to feed him the crappiest food, and I'm going to go through with all of the toxins put in his body. But there are the pet parents, and there are people in general who feel like they do everything right, and they still have to go through pain. And maybe that's just where we are. That's what this place is about, that we call life, right? It's just going to happen. And so what are the tools that we can have when those times come, right? And again, feeling our feelings, not wallowing in them, but trying to move through them, recognize them, let them go. Oh, here they come back again. Okay, I know because I felt this before that it won't always feel this way, right? It won't always feel this way. But I still contend, no matter what, is that you have to eat as a person the cleanest that you can, drink the best water that you can. Don't, put stupid stuff in your system. And same thing for the pets. So no matter how much I can't figure out things in life, I'm never going to feed my pets kibble or
Right.
crappy food.
I would not
I'm just
either.
not going to do it. I'm not going to do it
Yeah.
because I'm going to do what I can, and then I'm going to have to let the rest go.
Right. And I think maybe that's part of our learning here. I believe that we are here to learn things, is to be comfortable with that not knowing. You know, sometimes you just don't know, and you have to be comfortable with that, you know. In between, when there's uncertainty, I've heard people refer to it as the space between the stories or something. You're in a situation and you don't know exactly, you feel a shift, but you don't know exactly what direction that's going. And you just kind of have to be okay with that and, but still make good decisions and pick your direction. And it's easier said than done, but I think, you know, depending on our personalities, you know, I think sounds like you and I are maybe similar. As soon as we can't jump in and take control of the situation and do something about it and take action, like we're acting, like it's action's great. Like I'll do anything, you know, in a certain situation if you know what's the best thing to do. But it's then when you have to sit back and say, okay, I don't know what to do right now, and you're in that, so you have to kind of turn it over to, you know, maybe a higher power or ask for guidance because you just don't know. So the not being able to take action, I think for me, or not knowing which action to take, really uncomfortable. That's very anxiety producing.
You know, I think I've met so many people that are uncomfortable in this world that I've come to, I've really come to believe, Dr. Jasek, that I think we get hung up thinking that we're supposed to have this happiness all the time or comfortable feelings all the time. And I just don't know anybody that has that, right? Like, people that lose that dog, right? That pet, that's the pet, right? That one pet. And some people have more than one of those in a lifetime, right? But everybody's got that heart dog, that dog or that cat that was like their companion for life, right? And they lose that and they say, I will never get another pet because I could never love another one like that. I get that. I get that, right? But I don't know if that's, I don't know. I don't know. We can't be afraid of that. It's going to happen and they're going to come and go and people are going to come and go. And yeah, it's a crazy journey that we're all on. And we can look out there and everybody's life seems perfect. Everybody's, journey seems like, oh, I'm the only one that's feeling like this. And somebody out there is listening to us today that's feeling very heart sick, very that their pet is gone. And then there's some people that are very anxious about the health that their pet is exhibiting right now. And we would just say that it nothing lasts forever.
Right.
The
I mean,
pain does
it's
not last
like,
forever.
you know, if you're familiar with the Garth Brooks song, The Dance, you know, I could have missed, you know, could have skipped the pain, but I would have had to miss the dance. You know, our animals bring us a lot of joy in life. Like when I lost Max, like that was devastating. He was 8 months old. And I was like, I really like, I don't know if I can get another puppy. Like I wanted another puppy, but then A, I didn't want to go through all that early puppy training again. But then it's like, you know, you got this constant fear of losing them. But you know, do you really want to not have that joy of having the dog around? You know, I mean, life has risk. You know, any of us could go get killed in a car accident today. You know, I mean, you can't live your life in fear either, because we don't want to have that pain of loss. I mean, loss is part of life. You know, no matter how you cut it, sucks, but it's just. It's part of what you're going to experience here. And, you know, you don't want to not experience life for fear of losing something. And it's also important that, we live in the moment and appreciate what we do have and find as much joy as we can, even in, little things in life, and not overlook that.
Yeah. Well, I find joy in being back on the podcast with you, and I'm so glad
Me
that I get
too.
to be with you every week. And so we'll be back here every week. Guys, remember, get a second opinion. Something not feeling right about the diagnosis, something not feeling right about the recommendations that you've recently received for your pets. You can go over to ahavet.com, ahavet.com, work with Dr. Jasek and her team. They'll give you a totally different outlook, totally different possibility, right? So we definitely want to have all the information available to us. Get your dog on a species appropriate diet. Food is so important. I don't understand. We understand it for ourselves. We're like, processed foods, is not good for us. Why are we going to put processed foods in our pets? I don't know why that it's get the,
Because the vets recommend it and they're smart because they wear a white coat.
oh gosh, I was talking to somebody the other day and their dogs are in such bad shape, and she was like, but my dogs are on hydrolyzed protein,
Right.
and but he just keeps getting these ear infections. And I didn't even offer up. I
Yeah.
just didn't even say, because I'm like, they're so in deep, right? They're entrenched like a tick. And I was just like, they're just not going to like me if I say anything. So I'm just like, well, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Right,
But anyway, I
right.
was just like, oh, bad nutrition is bad nutrition. You can't get around that. How does the body heal, Dr. Jason, without good nutrition?
I
Can't.
know. It's the most important thing if you do nothing else. And I think most people, look at raw and say, oh, it's so much more expensive. Yeah, but how much money are you spending on ear medications for the ear infections or drugs for itchy skin or drugs for GI disease or these prescription diets from the vet? They're not cheap. And how many supplements and probiotics and all this stuff are you putting into your pet? You could, if you eliminated all that, you put that money towards a raw diet, you'd be saving money.
Right.
I think it's hard for people to see it that way, but it really is the truth. The money, if you look at how many thousands of dollars you're spending at the vet treating your pet, and you could put that money into a better diet, and then your pet's healthier, and you're not spending all your time going back and forth to the vet.
Right. And your call to action today, folks. You want to see lower prices. You want to see more puppies be saved. You want to see farmers not removed from the earth. Call your congressman, call your people, call your representatives. Say, take the regulations away. Ask them, why is our food so expensive? What is happening? Why is our food so contaminated? Get involved. Call your representatives. Tell them you want something done. Okay?
Right.
That's your call
Right.
to action.
That's right. Make a
Do
couple
it.
phone calls.
There it is. Pick up the phone. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. We will see you next week. Get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com. Get your dogs on a species appropriate diet, because here at Raw Dog Food and Company, your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Jasek?
Friends, don't let friends feed kibble, y'all.
That's right. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye bye.
Bye.
When you've got a lot on your plate, your financial future is the last thing on your mind. That's why Acorns makes it easy to invest for you, your kids, and your retirement, all in one app. Acorns will recommend an expert build portfolio that matches your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. Download Acorns now and give your money a chance to grow. Investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. Please consider your objectives, risk tolerance, and Acorns fees before investing. Acorns Advisors LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are provided to clients of Acorns by Acorns Securities LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. For more information, visit acorns.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.